Support for the morning show comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, a unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe. Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. Support also comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. More information at carthage.edu/grad. And we welcome you to the morning show on WGTD-HD, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg, and pleased to have with me in the studios today Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, for his monthly visit to the program.
Good morning, welcome. Greg. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Good to have you here, and we have two special guests that we will introduce in just a moment. President Albrecht, I know you want to start out right away by acknowledging the difficulty that the folks on the Burlington campus and people who live in and around Burlington have experienced with the recent floods.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. You know, it's devastating enough to see all the disaster that's taken place in those communities, but to know that our students and their families were directly involved in many cases, just want to make sure that I reach out and give everyone my best and offer up any Gateway services that we can possibly provide. I know we had the Burlington campus open for food pantry distribution, and we're willing to do more of that. And I just want to let everyone know that we're keeping you in our thoughts. The cleanup is never an easy process. We do have faculty and staff that have put forth some volunteer hours to assist with that. But challenging times for many of our community members, Racine, Kenosha, and Walworth counties.
Right. By the way, speaking of Burlington, I know that there's actually a new Gateway program that's going to be opening there fairly soon.
Yes. In fact, we're in construction mode right now. We're building out a new lab for a new construction trades program. High demand occupation, a lot of need for home building, and Burlington Community Schools have always had an academy called the Construction Academy, and we're really fortunate to have a great partnership with Burlington School District, and now we're going to build out a new lab and expand our services and articulate the secondary program directly into our civil engineering program, expand into construction trades program, so we're really optimistic that we're going to be able to help support that industry.
And I know you want to make mention of a couple of other new programs, including a new program for mechatronics.
Correct. Yeah, that's the buzzword right now, mechatronics, sort of the computerization of manufacturing. And we were fortunate 2 weeks ago to host the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development and opened up a new manufacturing apprenticeship in the area of mechatronics. Excited about that because we already have a diploma program, a degree program, and now we have an apprenticeship program all focused on helping folks understand the importance of automation, system automation, and the integration of robotics in the manufacturing sector.
Very good. Finally, I know you want to mention an exciting program that just occurred at Wingspread that Gateway had a hand in.
We've been really involved in helping all of our communities establish greater communications, taking a look at where the future might take them. And Wingspread hosted an effort called Resiliency and Community Development. And I was really inspired when I went to those meetings because it was high-level engagement around what we can do to help position our communities, in this case, the Racine community. But I learned a lot for all of our communities and the importance of ongoing dialogue and communication and how private sector must work with public sector in order to put systems in place to support whether it's a residential area for neighborhoods or whether it's a project to help develop economic growth for the region. All of them are critical, and that only happens when leadership gets together and start thinking about planning for the future.
Excellent. So tell our listeners about the two very special guests who are joining us today, both over the telephone.
I could not be more pleased to join Roger Tedieski and Thomas Lichtenberger because they both have been really inspirations to me to help me better understand the importance of advanced manufacturing. Thomas is the president and CEO of Festo Didactic in New Jersey and gave a presentation on what's called the Industry 4.0 to help us really conceptualize the rapid pace of transition in the manufacturing sector. And now many of our programs at Gateway are being built around that Industry 4.0 standardization. So Thomas will be sharing his insight to that. And Roger Tedieski, I've known for over 10 years. Roger's just been a great champion for what we do here at Gateway, and he will be back on campus this week and next week as we host the national training for the National Coalition of Certification Centers. So welcome to both of you.
Good to have you here. So Roger Tedieski, let's have you just say a quick word about your own background and about the National Coalition of Certification Centers, of which you are the executive director, and what that organization is all about.
Great. Thank you. And Brian, thank you for that great introduction. Yes, this is Roger Tedieski. I'm the executive director for the National Coalition of Certification Centers. And And I tell you what excites me every morning getting up doing what I do is you know, as we are here today and we'll be at Gateway this week and next week, I, too, was one of those students a long time ago, decades ago, but I started in career and technical education, and that's how I got my started as an automotive and diesel technician. But that path and career path took me to research, development, and engineering, as well as being able to work on the space shuttle main engines, Atlas and Delta rocket engines, and then coming back into this great industry, and that is where the horizon meets between education and industry. And as Brian touched on, Industry 4.0 and automation and how those things really come together and how important education today, more so ever than before, is working with industry to not only help young people and emerging workforce coming into you know, education and getting great jobs in our communities and across the country, but also working with workers that want to improve themselves or go to the next level. So, the national, American Community College system, along with the K through 12 system, that's what NC3 does, is bringing those two entities together. So thank you.
It's exciting stuff.
Well, it really is. And, you know, we've been involved for over 10 years. Many of our community members will recognize it as our Snap-on training partnership. But as Roger will share throughout our interview here today, it includes many different industry sectors now. But we are fortunate to be on the ground floor, actually helping to create the model that is now used in over 500 colleges around the country. So great credit to Roger and his vision in helping to make this a national priority.
Thomas Lichtenberger, we're glad to have you as well. We'd like to learn a little bit about yourself and about your company, Festo Didactic, and how Festo became associated with Gateway Technical College.
Sure. Good morning, Brian. Good morning, Greg. It's really a big pleasure for me to be together with you this early morning. And I'm the CEO of Festo Didactic for the U.S., and I have the pleasure to work for Festo since more than 20 years now, and this is just a great company, and I will talk a little bit more about this later. And since about 10 years, I'm working in North America, and we at Festo, we see us really as the automation experts. And our close to 20,000 people worldwide, they strive every day to increase the productivity of our 300,000 customers all over the world. And our Festo Didactic division is focused on technical education. And over around about 75 years, we became the worldwide largest provider for technical learning systems. And we work together with most of the leading colleges in the United States. And Gateway is definitely an outstanding example for leading in technical education, and in particular, I would say, in when it comes to innovation in education as well. And we are extremely happy to have the opportunity to support Gateway on closing the skills gap and to build the workforce of tomorrow and certainly also today together with Gateway. Thank you very much.
And Thomas, we're just as proud to be working with you because Festo is, as you said, a global leader in helping develop systems for integration, automation, manufacturing, robotics, and those are really kind of the heartbeat of what we have here in Southeast Wisconsin and focusing on that skills gap and trying to elevate our students so that they have skills that are not only going to maintain their jobs today but also going forward in the future. So we're glad you're on the program today.
Roger Tadeevsky, let's circle back to this term NC3, which of course refers to the National Coalition of Certification Centers, and explain to our listeners who are not going to know what that term is all about, just what the heart and soul of it. Why is this kind of certification pathway so important, especially in today's world?
Yes, a great question. I'll tell you, you know, as Thomas has spoken and Brian already, you know, the pace, just the pace of technology coming into our world today is one thing. But, you know, our legacy skill sets have not gone away either. You know, we still have, you know, math and communications and hands-on skills that are guided by great minds. And, You know, so NC3 really came because of the person that's sitting next to you. You know, presidents across the country of our community colleges and chancellors and principals of high schools all began about 10, 15 years ago going, how do we work better together to both address the need for bringing technology and helping our programs and our instructors in the classroom stay on top of this, but how can we do that collectively and work better together, not only as with schools, but then the next step is how do we take that partnership between schools and then work with companies across multiple industries. And so our first start, as Brian touched on earlier, was with Snap-on Tool Corporation, which is in many industries, transportation, aerospace, the manufacturing, and it is a global leader. But then we had other companies like Ingersoll Rand Train and Fiat Chrysler that all had the same need and began to look at this and say, how can we work nationally and globally, but then also implement at the local level, help our instructors and our community college presidents. At the end of the day, the end result is how do we help the young people that are coming through these programs that when they graduate and they can walk into any hiring manager's office and be able to articulate not only where they went to school locally, but how nationally and globally they have certifications and the know-how and the great skills guided by great minds that they can be able to articulate with that hiring manager, this is what I can do today. Here's how I want to be able to employ my work skills, my work ethic, to be part of this company and that social fabric of the community across the United States. So NC3 really took on those big buckets and how do we bring those together. And as Brian mentioned earlier, we started out with five schools, Gateway, Shoreline Community College in Washington, Francis Tuttle in Oklahoma, Tennessee, Alabama. And then from there, we grew this to where it's over 500 schools now engaged. Last year in 2016, we issued a little over 55,000 industry-recognized, industry-developed certifications to students. And this year, we will be coming close to nearly doubling that again, close to 100,000 being issued in 2017. So NC3 is really driven by community college presidents and industry coming together to for the betterment of our communities, our states, our regional, national, and global, and working with great companies like Festo, like Thomas, that are also have tremendous technology coming into the market. So we got a lot of things going. We work with instructors, college presidents, we work facilities, curriculum, and couldn't be happier. We've got a great team across the country, great companies that are working with us, and great college presidents like Brian.
Well, Roger, I appreciate that. And, you're so right that this is what a great opportunity to help build pathways, secondary through post-secondary, through an embedded industry certification platform. And, here at Gateway, we run NC3 certifications in our auto program, our diesel program, our manufacturing programs, our engineering programs, our horticulture programs, our HVAC programs, and our 3D printing in our fab lab. So, the opportunities are out there, and the more we can engage with the industry, the more relevant the content and the curriculum becomes for our students.
Hmm. So, Thomas Lichtenberger, we're of course talking about the skills gap, and I'm sure that in your work with various companies, you see that all of the time. That is, companies having a terrible time finding workers that have sufficient skills for the job at hand.
Oh yes, you are so right. Actually, most of the time I'm with Festo, I worked on the automation side of our business. I wasn't always on the working with education, so most of the time I was working with industrial companies, and I saw them all the time. And let me tell you, the shortage of right-skilled workers is the largest single critical factor for their success. And there's enormous shortage on right-skilled workers. And if you especially compare good companies with brilliant companies, the thing what makes the difference is really the availability of the right-skilled workers, and it's the people.
I'm really encouraged, Thomas, by that term, the right-skilled worker. That's the first time I've heard that. I think that's a great way to phrase it, because a lot of people have skills, but the skills may not be aligned to be the correct or the right skills necessary to sustain the jobs that are out there today. So that's really a great perspective on let's take the skills they have and enhance those through an upskilling process to get to the right skills.
Right, because often if people hear that term of we need skilled workers, that these people then that are we assume that they are unskilled.
Correct, right.
and really, you know, limited or I mean you can follow that to a lot of incorrect assumptions about the people that we're talking about,
right.
And often it's their skills are not pertinent to, in a sense, the modern workplace and a particular workplace. Thomas, go ahead and please tell us more about the automation systems that your company is responsible for. What are we talking about, and what do these automation systems do?
So that's a good question, because we talk a lot about automation, but if you are not actually involved somehow in industrial automation, many people just don't know what we are talking about. So, and we at Festo, we see us really as the engineers of productivities. And when you just look around, most of the products which we use in our daily life, they are produced in an automated way. So look at cars, food, computers, pharmaceuticals, you name it. All of them are produced with automated machines. And robots, controls, and mechatronic solutions, they play a significant role. So the parts and products, they have to be moved, they have to be treated, they have to be assembled. And what Festo does is we provide the technical products and the solutions for that. And typically we sell them to industrial machine builders, and they integrate it into the production lines. So in our products, where they range from pneumatic or electrical actuators up to complex subsystems. But this also means we are not only a supplier of all those products and solutions, this also means we are industry ourselves. So we have our factories all over the world, and we have the same issues or same situations as the other industrial companies as well. So this means we know exactly what the situation there is. So coming back to our Festo Didactic, we see us not only as an education company, we are a respected global industrial leader. And we leverage, and this is what we try every day, we leverage the expertise which we have on the industrial side, on the automation side, to create learning systems and solutions for the education sector. So because we strongly believe in that the students and workforce of tomorrow, and even also today, they have to be trained on real-life solutions and not only on theoretical knowledge. Hmm.
The whole field of robotics is probably vastly different from what it was, say, 20 years ago, or the notion of automation in some of our factories. Explain how far this industry has come and the way in which the automation of today is vastly different, and I would guess vastly more sophisticated than the kind of automation that we began to see a couple of decades ago.
Oh yeah, definitely. It has changed significantly. But even if you go further than 20 years, the whole manufacturing industry went through different phases, and everything started actually even in the 1800s with the industrial revolutions, with the steam engines and the mechanical systems, and then it followed by the division of labor and using electrical energy. And then they talk about the third revolution when electronics, IT, and robots came into the game. But now we talk about the fourth industrial revolution. And what is happening now here and what makes the big difference is that the internet is brought into the production, and in particular the connectivity of all those devices. So advanced manufacturing today looks very different in a modern factory. It's quiet, it's clean, it's organized, it's high-tech, and typically it almost looks like you can eat from the floor. And this is one of the problems we have, that the image of the advanced manufacturing is so different. You know, many people still think it's oily, it's greasy, it's dirty, or it's even dead, but exactly the opposite is the case. Now, manufacturing is coming back, but it's coming back in a completely different way. Now we talk about smart factory, Industry 4.0, and all those kind of things which will will lead to a completely different solution, which compared to what many people think it is.
Thomas, you're so right. You know, I've been trying to describe this to our faculty and to our students and our community in that same context, that there are different segments of time that helped to define what manufacturing was in the early 1800s. Like you said, steam engines, water wheels, you know, that's how products were created. That's how energy was created. Early 1900s, the assembly line, and individuals learned a single skill, and that's about when Gateway was founded in 1911. So we were teaching manual skills on a lathe or a mill. And then in the 1980s, the programmable logical controller, the integration of a computer into a machine, changed the definition of the skill sets that were needed to produce products. And now, of course, today with the Internet of Things and the embeddedness of data and the importance of data through IT systems and manufacturing, robots can talk to each other, data can be shared, and we can be much more progressive in the way we think about the skill sets that students are going to need. And as I look at classrooms and laboratories and experiences that we provide our students to try to replicate and demonstrate not only today's manufacturing setting but tomorrow's, takes a really innovative set of competencies and products. And so Festo's been a great champion in helping us bring that vision along with the technology to our classrooms so their students can see it and then actually apply it.
It's exciting stuff. It's also very hard to understand. And so there is a challenge here in trying to help people understand exactly what this is talking about. And it seems to me that another issue in terms of helping the public understand this is the fact that there is also probably a fairly sizable segment of the population that really reacts badly to this whole notion of automation and robotics, because all that they can think about, and maybe understandably so, is that now there's a robot doing something that a person used to do, or that maybe five people used to do. And so they view this as not a positive kind of progress, but kind of a negative sort of progress. I suspect that in the work that you do, you see all of this differently. And while acknowledging the displacement that does occur, I suspect that you see all of this as just simply a necessity in this modern world in which we live. How do you suggest that we talk about this and frame this conversation, especially when we're talking about people out there in the general population trying to understand this and trying to learn to accept this?
This is really a very good question. So let me try with a few sentences to explain what Internet of Things or Industry 4.0 really actually means. And we have to keep in mind it's actually much more than just a technology. It's more like a philosophy. Mm. And what I mean with this is, just look at our private life, what we have already today. So your cell phone is connected to your TV or your car. And the car leads you way to your destination by using the best route, etc. So everything is connected, and data is in exchange to make our processes in life smoother. I think we all see this every day, and every hour we are kind of in touch with those kind of things. So when you think about what are the next step might be that our cars, they talk to each other, and accidents are avoided. Or your car talks to the next traffic light, and for a fee, you might get a green light. So if you just imagine, you know, with what all this connectivity and data exchange can do, we can foresee what kind of development will come. So, and now if you think back 20 years ago, which you mentioned before, we also had cars, we also had telephones, but they did not have this connectivity. So this connectivity is actually what makes the difference, and which is the core of Internet of Things, of Industry 4.0. So if I now lead over to the manufacturing side, what does it mean there? So it's also the communication. So when the machines communicate to each other, they talk to each other, and the devices which are produced on the machine, they might tell the machine how they want to be treated, how they want to be processed. And the goods, the products, they might move through the production side autonomously by finding the most efficient way. And or the machines, they identify themselves when maintenance is needed, and they inform the workers even before the machine stops to work. So it, and these are just a few examples what Industry 4.0 in production manufacturing could mean. But this leads, and as you pointed out, to a situation that we need workers with additional skills and additional competences. But it also doesn't mean, and I'm very happy that you pointed out before, that the foundational knowledge of technology is not needed. You know, our workers in the future, they still need the technical knowledge about electric, pneumatic, hydraulic, etc. So, but they need additional skills. And you're absolutely right. Some of the positions which we have today, they might not exist tomorrow anymore. However, on the other side, there will be completely new roles which are needed to deal with this whole situation. And therefore, in total, I'm not foreseeing a significant reduction in the need for additional skilled workers. The education, the training, and the experience, the hands-on learning experience, will be even much more important in the future.
Thomas, I
and
think...
I just want to say
that I think you've done a terrific job of describing how important these new skill sets are, because it's exactly the way I think many of us live our lives, and we kind of take it for granted. You know, we put in an app on our phone and it programs to our car and it gives us a destination route, and if you go the wrong way it recalculates it for you and it tells you that, or you know, we buy a device we put in our home where you can just talk to it and say, Lexus, what time of the day is it, and it speaks out loud, or what was the score of the latest sporting event. And so we have smart homes, we have smart phones, we have smart grids, we have smart cars, we have, I saw the other day, smart water. And what we need to do internally at educational systems is to create smart technicians, right? Technicians that understand all of those different applications of technology, but can really analyze that through critical thinking and make decisions based on how machines are functioning and what products need to be developed in certain parameters.
Yeah. And Brian, you started to talk about one extremely critical thing. Typically, everybody thinks about technology and technical skills, but we also should not forget the personal skills. They are extremely essential and critical for all these future roles, so like creativity, problem solving, critical thinking, and you mentioned it. This is much more important in the future. It's not only about learning a new technology and being able to apply it. This technology, what we are seeing there, is changing constantly. When we talk today about Industry 4.0, it will be different next year. So having people who can stand on their feet and being able to apply their knowledge in a completely different environment is extremely critical.
I couldn't agree more at all levels, right? Whether it's early learning in elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, colleges, the incumbent workforce. It's just the dynamics of the society that we live in today. We all like the comforts, but someone has to sustain and maintain that. I know in our state we just talked about a new legislative initiative to help advocate for driverless cars. Well, the only way that works is if your car talks to the street lights and it talks to the telephone poles, and so that it can keep your car on track. And all of those need support systems through technical training.
Thomas Lichtenberger, you're the president and CEO of Festo Didactic, and we appreciate you joining us today on the morning show. I understand that another obligation of yours means that you need to leave us at this point, but we appreciate you participating in this conversation very, very much.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Thanks again for your time. We're glad that Roger Tedievsky is still with us, Executive Director for the National Coalition of Certification Centers. And your organization, of course, is right at the heart of this whole matter and of trying to help see to it that people are properly trained and properly certified for these kind of breakthroughs. Describe to our listeners the type of training that you specialize in and the difference that it makes when we're talking about industries like Festo and what they are developing.
Great question. Let me just jump right into that because it is so important. You know, so we have all this new technology coming out, and it's coming into the marketplace. I want to emphasize that. It's coming into our marketplace. Whether you're in L.A., Philadelphia, New York, or Peoria, Illinois, or Burlington, Wisconsin, or Alpena, Michigan, it doesn't make any difference. It's coming into every little company, every big company, and everything in between into our schools. So it's here now. But the important part now is then how does that come into the classroom, right? How does that interact with our emerging workforce or our incumbent workforce? And it's not just training; it's that education of our professors and our instructors. And yes, there's the theory in those pieces, but now how do you apply it? How do you actually go out and take that theory and turn it into the components and those processes and that interaction, whether it's between equipment and machine or equipment machine and the workplace and the people that are engaged with that? And that's where it comes into. So over this week and next week, we have over 140 instructors from our community colleges across the country, as well as career and technical centers that are involved at the K through 12 level that are in Kenosha. And the other key part of that is our industry partners like Snap-on, and Brian mentioned earlier about construction trades. One big one is going to be Greenlee Corporation, which is part of the Textron family that is going to be in working on the commercial electrician piece. And they will be learning directly from the global industry leaders. So these are not only great companies, but they are the technology developers that are leading this forefront globally. And they bring that knowledge now directly to our instructors. And so as they're going through the training and understanding the theory and all the background, but all how this is applied and how it's taught to our students, they're able to ask those quirky questions of what if and how come right directly to industry, and that's part of the curriculum. And so they can take that right back into the classroom when, as Brian and I were all in school several decades ago, and we still ask the same question, why? You know, how am I going to use that? How does that apply? Well, you know, now companies like Sterrett Corporation, which is a 129-year-old U.S. company, but it's a global that teaches precision measurement and in that intersection between the basic math skills and how that works with Industry 4.0, or what Brian and Thomas really touched on a little bit, is also now the blending that comes together within a company between engineering and that skilled workforce that's involved in the manufacturing of those processes and components that engineering and the business world bring together. So the trainers, instructors that are in going through train to trainer this week and next week are very powerful. They're in there. They're also learning. They have to pass. There's a component of this that they take, and then pass that, and they get certified. So that they are at the very top echelon of this knowledge, and that goes right back into our classrooms and across the country. So that's where it really touches our students at the community college level. Our community colleges are now even reaching down into high schools and bringing that knowledge at the local level to high schools and even into middle school. So we couldn't be happier. We do five of these train-to-trainers now annually, and it all got started here at Gateway Technical College, but continues to evolve across the country.
Roger, I get excited just listening to you. I mean, I think when you think about how do you keep classrooms creative and innovative, one certainly is to make sure that the teachers have the support that's required, whether that's classroom, labs, facilities, but more importantly in today's world, ongoing professional development. And what you're putting together is a system of getting the best teachers around the country together so that they can share best practices and ideas and learn from industry and then help our students understand how important that lifelong continued learning is, because they too are going through it and upgrading their own skills and imparting new technology information to students so that they can compete for jobs in a changing marketplace. So, you know, what you put together, the NC3 framework, are built around making sure that teachers have the skills necessary to help students make that transition from an educational world into a work world are absolutely critical. So I just want to just commend you on that leadership and look forward to hosting 140 or 50 college instructors here this next week.
Hmm. Roger Tedievsky, say a little bit more about exactly how this training is delivered. And I'm sure there are all kinds of ways in which this is not delivered in the sort of standard fashion of three decades ago, for instance, as you were touching on earlier. How is this training delivered?
Well, it's delivered in the classroom through our community college instructors. But one thing I want to assure everyone is that this is not industry coming into the education world and saying, okay, we know the best, and we're going to put this in, and you have to throw out your old curriculum, and you have to throw out your old ways totally, and just do it. This is a true partnership between industry and education, nationally, locally, regional, and so when the instructors go through this training, they're also part of their component is how do you blend this into your existing curriculum. For example, when they're still teaching math, and it's still 2+2 and 4+4, but now here's how that is utilized in the world of measurement. So Sterrett is able to integrate, and we help them. NC3 works with our instructors to help integrate this technical curriculum into the core curriculum that the schools and states are already using. So it really helps not only that instructor in the ownership that they have in the classroom, but it also helps those pieces at the local level implement and engage even quicker and be nimble, because that's the big part that industry is looking at is you know, that they have to be nimble to compete in the global marketplace. So, you know, as Thomas was touching on, all the new pieces are coming. You know, sometimes things happen every 6 months or every 12 months. But how do we, you know, if we only say, well, we've got a curriculum together and that's going to be good for 5 years and then we'll update it in 5 years. Well, in 4 years, industry could be tremendously down the road, and some of the instruction might even be completely ancient in it, okay? Not the whole curriculum, but some of the instruction. So this is the part that where industry works hand in hand from the president of the college all the way down to the instructor on how to help integrate those pieces in, when pieces need to be updated, pieces need to be molded. And so NC3 has put that process together. So that curriculum, these updates are all put online. You know, we're using technology back into the classroom. So the instructor has access to this information 24/7. All of our industry partners bring this in. So as soon as it's available and ready, it automatically comes to the schools. The students have access to it 24/7. They are able, and the key thing to this is when the student takes the test and is recognized that they have completed that section or that area, these industries recognize that certification. So when the students complete that at their local high school or community college and they print out that certificate, it's immediately done, and they can take that out to the marketplace and say, I went to school at Gateway Technical College, or I completed my degree plan at Shoreline Community College in Washington, and my precision measurement components of this are recognized, and Sterrett Corporation puts their stamp of approval behind it, or train, or snap on, and so forth. So this becomes very quick and very nimble so that the students can take this when they complete. Or, you know, the other part of the reality is we have some students that have to work while they're going to school. And so these are certificates that they can start to take to their employer as they're going through work, and help them grow in a parallel path in the industry out there, you know, immediately as they're going through their program.
Hey, Roger, so I think you've done a great job of helping our audience understand the importance of the technical training side of it and what teachers are able to do working with industry to develop new content, new curriculum, stay current, apply technology in the classroom. And if anyone is interested to come and see and witness it in action, it's really inspiring because you've got the latest diagnostic technology, robotics, all pneumatics, hydraulics, 3D printing, all going on, and it's really a creative and a high-energy environment. And then also you bring in a group of leaders. If you could talk a little bit about the leadership conference that runs parallel to the NC3 conference to help expose other industries and other college leadership on why this type of training is important and who just might be here in the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brian. Yep. So as Brian touched on, is that, you know, we have our instructors in, but now that the other part of those decision makers and pieces are our college presidents and their vice presidents and their deans of instruction or their workforce development VPs and deans, or chancellors of systems, as well as even principals from some of our career tech centers across the country come in. So we invite them in, and this year, again, we're going to have probably right at about 140, again, from all over the United States coming into Gateway. And we will spend 2 days, as we heard from Thomas this morning, from Festo, but we will have our corporate leaders in from every one of our companies that are going to talk about not only what's here today, but here are some of the technologies and pieces that are coming in the very near future, and how are those going to impact the skill sets that are being taught in the schools. Some may be, hey, we just need to keep amplifying these because there's more and more of it coming, but here are some skill sets, as Thomas touched on, that between soft skills and that leadership and that interaction, it could be between how that instruction is more and more and how it helps automate a system and how that knowledge is, or even a blending of how the technical skill sets and trades work even closer with engineering. And again, that drives new jobs and new opportunities in there. You know, and then one of those things, so we talked about Festo, we talked about Snap-on, but we talk about Dremel and 3D printing, and Thomas talked about, you know, the automation and those pieces. So, you know, historically, we used to have the skill sets of design and drafting and those pieces. Well, that has become automated, and now even more people are needed to when that concept and idea comes, and then how do you 3D print that? How do you use plastics and that to kind of come up with a concept? And then can that be machined and made in the traditional sense, but then we bring in additive manufacturing. Maybe that 3D printing that's done initially with plastics now is done with metals. And how is that done? And there's so now you hear from a Festo, but a Sterrett, but a Fiat Chrysler or an Ingersoll Rand train about how all these things are here today. And again, those global leaders all with one message that the most important piece is the skilled workforce, and I think how Brian and how Thomas said it is the right skills and developing and even the legacy skill sets on fine-tuning those and helping bring in those even more up to that nimbleness and how that works in the marketplace. So we will have, 140-plus leadership representatives from community colleges, technical colleges, even some universities. We have people coming from economic development groups that are part of this, all coming together to learn and also see how this trainer-trainer works so that they can bring these ideas and, again, shorten that cycle so they can implement them at their local level and improve their social part of how we help, again, young people get great jobs and great career paths.
Roger Tedevsky, a lot of what you're talking about brings to mind this whole notion of STEM education, which, of course, is being talked about all across the country. Talk for a moment about the way in which STEM folds nicely into this notion of Industry 4.0 and the future that we're all trying to adapt to.
Absolutely. You know, we've all kind of touched on it some this morning here, Brian and Thomas, on some of these areas of science, technology, engineering, and math. And, of course, we've talked a lot about Sterrett and what they're doing around precision measurement. But, you know, part of this is also how do we get young people engaged and aware of all the great things that are going on in the world today and certainly the United States. You know, in short, I just pull back for a minute and I look about, you know, as Brian and Thomas were talking about industry, you know, the advent of the steam engine in the industrial age, and we look back in history at how exciting, you know, from the early 1900s up through the 1920s, how that industrial age, when it kicked in and really came through and all through World War II and the job growth and the economic growth across the country, you know, for young people, I don't think there could be any more exciting times about what's coming. And so when we talk about science, you know, and we think about what Trane Corporation is doing with building automation system controls, and you walk into one of these labs, we've had science teachers and math teachers walk in there, and their first words out of their mouth is, wow. Holy, you know, they see variable freon units that bring in the science of how, you know, global climate better ways of using freon, the cool room, but how energy efficient it is and the science behind that, and how their science class can connect with that same type of training or technology from machine to machine language and coding and how that works. So the coders that are needed in engineering and how they work with the machine builders, but also work with the technicians and the technical people that are actually assembling in these process controls. And of course, how math, the measurement, all those pieces, how they come together. And so one of the big things that we're looking forward to expand, we did a pilot of this a little bit last year. We're doing more this year in several areas. We've had math teachers and science teachers attend some of our 3D printing, our precision measurement, our multimeter electrical pieces. But we're even taking some things. Brian's got some great examples there in the Racine, Kenosha area. We're working now with Fab Lab and Makerspace and getting and helping that math teacher that's in that fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. And we've got schools like in Pima Community College in Tucson, Arizona, that is starting to engage and even taking some of these certifications and bringing them into the high school and middle school so that kids can get excited about and go home and tell their mom and dad, hey, I've got some thoughts on how I want to be part of this community and I want to learn this. And that gets them engaged into their futures and brings the parents in those communities in. And the great work that even Greg Hammond up at Lynn Benton, and I could go on and on, that are doing around their communities and bringing these pieces together,
right. All
bringing STEM education and industry back together.
Yeah, Roger,
Roger Tedefsky is Executive Director for the National Coalition of Certification Centers. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Great. Thank you.
And President Brian Albrecht, always great to have you here.
Thank you, Greg.
I'm Gregory Berg.